Been studying it for quite a while now and been a real blessing, and I thank the Lord for all that He's done and showed me through this book and how He's worked in my life and in my heart, showed me things, and I hope that He's done the same for you. The Bible says that His Word will not return void. It will always accomplish what He sends it to do. We may not see it, we may not understand it, but it always accomplishes its purpose. And so we thank God for His Word. Galatians chapter 6, we'll read verses 15 to 18. And Paul is going to end his words on what really counts. What really counts. That's what I want to preach to you this morning. What counts? What is the most important thing that really counts? What is the root of all things? We'll look at that this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You, God, for Your blessings toward us. Lord, I realize, Lord, that I'm an unworthy servant of Yours. Don't deserve to preach Your Word. Don't deserve to open it. Don't deserve to preach, Lord, but You've allowed me to do so. Lord, I pray that You would help me and strengthen me to say what is necessary and what is helpful to Your people. I pray that they would be built up in the faith, that we would all look to You this morning through Your Word, and we would have a greater understanding of You, Father, and Your Holy Spirit would lead us and guide us and direct us and help us as we study Your Word. And Lord, we can't do it without You. We're at Your mercy, Lord, and so we pray and ask that You would strengthen us today and open up our eyes and our ears and illuminate our minds and help us, Lord. We are weak and fallible people, Father, and we need You, Lord. You know what's going on in the heart of each and every person. I don't, but You do, Father, and I know that by Your Spirit You can minister to people in ways that I cannot. So, Father, I pray that You would do Your work in our hearts and lives this morning, and we'll thank You for it. Lord, we love You and pray and ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. What really counts, Paul is going to tell us what really counts in these last few verses. Not that everything doesn't count, I'm not trying to say that, but there is something that is foundational that really does count. He says in verse number 15, he says, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen." Saw four things there that really count that we're going to get into here in just a moment. But I noticed as I read his letters, I know that he likes to get down to the root of the issues. Paul doesn't so much deal with symptomatic problems. He doesn't so much deal with topical issues. I mean, he does, but that's not what he likes to do. He likes to really get down to the cause and the roots of the problem or the cause of salvation. He likes to look at all of those things. And I believe that he does this because his letters are inspired by God. The Bible says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, all of those things. But I also notice that God does not deal symptomatically. I mean, he does deal with symptoms, but he likes to get down to the root of the problems of man. He likes to expose why we do the things that we do, why things happen the way that they happen. That's what God likes to do whenever he writes to us and tells us about ourselves. I don't know about you, but do you like to ask the question why? Do you like to ask why? Because too many times I think that we are afraid to ask why, or we don't ask the question why. You may not want to ask the question why because you don't want to think. Well, if I ask the question why, then that means I have to delve a little bit deeper. I have to ask a few things, and now I have to think. Maybe you don't ask the question why because you're not going to like the answer that you get in the return. Well, I don't want to ask the question because then I might find out something that I don't like, and I really don't want to do that, but when you ask the question why, then you're able to pin down the reason why that things happen. You get down to the root of the problem. I must confess that I don't ask the question why enough. Just not as curious as some people. But if you never ask the question why, you're not going to delve any deeper into the problem that you're trying to find out. You have to ask why. And so Paul gives us what really counts. Do you understand? Have you nailed down or you examined what really counts in the Christian life? Do you understand and do you know what really counts in salvation? Because I believe that people, they get sidetracked. They get sidetracked on certain issues and they don't actually know what really counts in salvation, and they start going in different directions. Well, it's baptism. I must be baptized in order to be saved. That's what really counts. Well, if I'm a good moral person, then that really counts. That's the real root issue. And that's what these false teachers in Galatians were doing. They were trying to attack the problem of sin in a person's life by dealing with topical things, things on the outside. They said, well, if you become an ethnic Jew, then you can be saved. Because that's the root problem. If you go through the rite of circumcision, you deal with something on the outside because the flesh is the problem, the flesh is bad, and the flesh is sinful, so if you do something to your flesh, then you can be saved, and that'll take care of the problem. And really, it's an outward issue, something on the outside. That's what they were trying to divert the attention of the Galatians away from the real, deeper, pressing problem that dealt with them on the inside, or resided with them on the inside. And they were trying to say, well, no, if you become a Jew. But can I tell you something here this morning? That sin goes deeper than the flesh. Now, you have problems with your physical flesh, I understand that, but sin goes deeper than the flesh. It's not something that you can just take care of by taking a bath or cutting yourself or doing something else to your flesh. That's not going to fix the sin problem. And here's these false teachers, and they were trying to make ethnic Jews out of the Galatians by performing some kind of operation to add to their salvation. And they're teaching a false outer transformation. Look, if you'll do something to the outside, then that'll fix the problem. They were building on a false foundation. And they had a corrupt motivation. They were doing things for the wrong reason. It wasn't really for God. It wasn't really for Jesus Christ or for other people. No, it was for themselves. And as a result, God wasn't with them. He did not go with them. It was not His message that they were preaching. No, it was a false message that they were preaching, and they had no coalition, you could say, with God. And so Christ was of none effect to them. God was not with them. The grace of God was not with them. It did not go with them. And so Paul is going to end up his letter here with what really does count in salvation in the Christian life. Now, he started out his letter pointing out that these false teachers were preaching a false gospel. And I tried to show you right out of the bat that Jesus Christ is what really matters. Jesus Christ is enough for salvation. Now, Paul is going to end his letter here by saying, let me show you what really counts. And what really does count? Well, it's not going to surprise you. At least it shouldn't anyway. If you're a Christian and you know the gospel, you're not going to be surprised by my answers here. But what really does count in salvation and the Christian life? Because we need to get down to the root of the problem, don't we? We can't just deal with surface level things and, well, it's this symptom or that symptom. No, we need to know. The first thing is that there must be a real inner transformation. There's got to be something done on the inside. That's what really matters in salvation. There must be a true circumcision. There must be a true transformation, a transformation by Christ and in Christ. Not on the outside. You can't dress up the outside and think you're going to fix it. He says in verse number 15, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature." What really makes the difference is an inner transformation, and these false teachers are saying, no, it's on the outside of the individual. They were trying to gain the grace of God by something outside of Christ. Do you realize this morning that everything that a person needs for salvation is found in Christ? There's nothing outside of Christ that would benefit you in any way, shape, or form for salvation. Nothing outside of Christ. Everything that you need for salvation and the godly life is found in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. And these false teachers were going outside of Christ. And Paul stresses the fact, he says, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. It doesn't matter whether you're an ethnic Jew or you're not an ethnic Jew. That does not matter. You can't do anything on the outside of yourself in order to gain the grace of God. Ethnicity does not bring you closer to God. Just because you're an American doesn't mean that you're automatically saved. Doesn't mean that. What makes the difference? A new creature. A new creature. God has to do something on the inside. God has to make a transformation on the inside. It's an inward transformation, not outward. Inward. There needs to be an inward circumcision of the heart. There must be a new creature. As Jesus Christ told Nicodemus in John 3, you must be born again. That's a necessity. You cannot see the kingdom of God except you be born again. And here comes Nicodemus, and he comes up to Jesus and he says, look, I'm a ruler of Israel. I'm a master. I know all about the Bible. I'm a religious person. Jesus did not say anything about that. And say, well, okay, you've got this going for you. You are a master of Israel. No, he didn't say that. He says there's something wrong on the inside of you that you need to get fixed. You must be born again. Something must happen on the inside, a transformation. And Paul the Apostle wrote to the church at Rome, he wrote the book of Romans. He pointed out that a true Jew is one who is not just called a Jew, but or merely an ethnic Jew, but someone who has been circumcised inside. That inward transformation of the heart is what matters. Romans chapter 2, verse 28 says, "For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and the circumcision is out of the heart and in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God." You get that inward transformation, then your praise is of God. That's something that God looks at. That's something that God sees. As a matter of fact, whenever God spoke about David in the Old Testament, the prophet said he does not look on the outside. He looks on the inside at the heart. And here's Paul, and he says, you must have that inward transformation. That's what God looks upon. Now, these false teachers, they were looking for the praise of men because they had the religion. They had everything perfect on the outside, and they were thinking, man, someone's going to see me and think I'm a pretty good guy. That was their motivation. Matter of fact, Peter got swept up in this in Galatians chapter number 2. He wanted to be with the in crowd. He wanted to be with the Jews and the Judaizers because he himself was a Jew. And he wanted the praise of men. He thought, man, if I could hobnob with these guys, then I could get that praise that I want. But that's not what counts. Wouldn't you rather have the praise of God rather than the praise of men? There must be an inward transformation. Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So God has to do something. God has to make this inward transformation. And when David sinned against God with his sin with Bathsheba and murdered Uriah the Hittite, he didn't start working on the outside. He didn't say, well, maybe if I change my clothes and maybe if I trim my beard or do something on the outside, then everything will be okay. No, he didn't do that. He didn't go to God with those kind of stipulations. You know what he said? He said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. God, you have the power that I need. I need you to do something on the inside of me. But then man, what does he do? Man's got his own plans. They think, well, we can do the transformation, but we're going to do it our way. And this is what we are going to do. We're going to make some new laws. We're going to fix this society because it's in trouble, and let's make some laws. Now, let's get the right man in the White House. Let's get the right politician in the right White House. Let's make new laws. Let's make behavioral techniques that will fix the problems with man. Let's get the right government. I know what we can do. Let's go out and burn some buildings. Let's make some noise. Let's do something because we're going to change this society by doing all of these outward things. Now, there's a time and a place for some of those things. Some of those things are great, wonderful. We live in a society where we're free to vote. Go ahead. And they might do some good, but you're only dealing with a symptom. You're not dealing with the deeper issues. What needs to happen is on the inside of a person, you need a transformation. You need a heart change. Because the heart of man is wicked, and that's what really counts, not a new government. God said of the nation of Israel, he says, I'm going to fix your problem. I'm going to take out your stony heart that won't listen to me, that won't obey my laws, that won't do what I tell you to do, and I'm going to give you another heart. I'm going to give you a heart of flesh, one that will obey. Because that's the problem. The problem is the heart. What do we need? We need an inward transformation. And if you and I have that inward transformation, then we got something to build on. We got a foundation that we can build on. And Paul touches on that point in verse number 16. He says, as many as walk according to this rule, peace be upon them and mercy upon the Israel of God. He says, as many as walk according to this rule, as many people as has this foundation, the gospel of Jesus Christ, as many as believe on Jesus Christ, as many as those as has that foundation. True ethnicity. Not just a surface ethnicity. No, a real ethnicity. True children of God. Follow me, this true gospel, not a perverted gospel. Is that your foundation this morning? Is it the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because what really matters is what you're building your life upon. And he says, as many as walk according to this rule. Not everyone was doing that. Not everyone was following the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some were, some weren't. As many as do this. What were the Judaizers building their lives on, their faith on? Oh, well, something that they could do. That's what they were building their lives upon. Their own self-righteousness. And those Judaizers were not the Israel of God. They were not the children of God. They were not depending upon the grace of God. They did not have an inward transformation. They had not a good foundation to build their faith upon. They were building upon a shaky foundation that was going to crumble one of these days. Those who live their life according to this rule have been founded upon Christ, and they are the Israel of God, the true Jews. Now we realize and recognize that God is not all through with Israel, that one of these days they will all be saved and they will all believe on Christ. They have not yet, but one day they will. And they must believe on Christ. You cannot become saved any other way other than believing on Jesus Christ and Him alone. But what really matters is what your faith is founded upon. What is it founded upon? You found your life upon the gospel of Jesus Christ and upon Jesus Christ alone? Is that what your life is built upon and your faith is built upon? That's the only true foundation that you got and that I have. I mean, you can build a beautiful house. You can put the best roof on that thing. You can put beautiful shingles on it. Man, you can make the walls really sturdy. Make them out of 2x6s. Put beautiful windows in there. Get you a good, sturdy wooden front door. Put all kinds of nice designs on it. Put some bricks on the outside. Hand-carved stone. Beautiful fixtures on the inside. Perfect looking on the outside. But if you build that house on a glitchy parking lot, you know what's going to happen? It's going to disintegrate. It's going to fall. It's going to turn into rubble. And that beautiful house that you built and you were so proud of is going to come crumbling down one of these days real, real soon. Why? Crummy foundation. You know what the most important thing a house is? The foundation. The foundation is the most important. And guess what? Guess what? You can't even see the foundation. You have to dig around and look at that foundation to find out where it's at. But yet Christians today and everyone, lots of people today are just building their lives and building their faith and hanging their hats on something that is going to crumble one of these days, that's going to burn up and be worth nothing because it's not built upon Jesus Christ and His gospel. What really counts? As many as walk according to this rule, peace be upon them and upon the Israel of God. Paul the Apostle again tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, he says, other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. It's Christ and His gospel. And if you don't build on that, one of these days you're going to get to the judgment seat of Christ and all of your works and my works are going to be burnt up and be reduced to a pile of ashes because it was not built upon Jesus Christ. That's the only foundation that you have. And that's the most important thing. I'd like to ask you this morning, are you a part of the as many that Paul was talking about? As many as walk according to this rule? Because not everyone is. Not everyone is building their lives upon the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not everyone is putting their faith in Jesus Christ. And if you are, then you have the peace and the mercy of God that Paul is talking about here. You have that inward transformation. You have that solid foundation to build upon. And if you are, then you'll have the right motivations. Paul talks about his motivations in the next verse. True ambition. Suffering for Jesus Christ, not suffering for a religion, but suffering for Christ. That was his motivation. Find that in verse number 17. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. He said, oh yeah, I'm suffering, okay. I'm suffering, but it's for the Lord Jesus Christ. In contrast to the false teachers. They had been suffering. They had been doing some things to themselves. Oh yeah, they had been suffering, but it wasn't for Jesus Christ. It was for self-righteous reasons. That was their motivations. Oh, they wanted to gain a crowd. They wanted to get some friends. They wanted to make themselves look good. It was all for self. It was not for Christ. It was not for God. Well, they were suffering. Sure, sure. Wrong motivations. You know what's most important? Your motivations. Why do you do the things that I do, and why do I do the things that I do? These men were willing to do all these religious acts, but they weren't willing to suffer for Jesus Christ. And Paul says, let no man trouble me. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, this is proof of my heart condition. This is proof that I am an apostle of Jesus Christ. Look! I got the marks in my body to prove it, and they're for Jesus Christ. Let no man trouble me anymore. Don't raise your fist at me anymore. Don't raise your mouth to me anymore. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. His suffering was done for Jesus Christ. What matters most is our motivation in our service for the Lord. Our motivation. There's plenty of people who suffer. There's thousands and thousands of people the week before Easter over in the Philippines of the Catholic faith. And you know what they do? They suffer. Oh, they get a whip and they beat themselves on the back bloody, make themselves bleed. They crawl on broken glass. They cut themselves. They do all of these things and they're remembering the Lord's death. Did you know that the Bible never tells us to do any of those things? None of those things. Man, they are sincere. They go further than I would go. I'm not going to beat myself. Sincere. They're willing to suffer. They're disciplined. They're going to do it. But do you know what? Their motivations are all messed up. Wrong motivations. You know how we're supposed to remember our Lord's death? Communion. Communion. The church. Which we need to do. Motivations are all wrong. So it matters why we do the things that we do. Are we serving for Christ? Are we coming to church for Jesus Christ? Are we giving for Jesus Christ? Am I preaching for Jesus Christ? Am I living for Jesus Christ? In my job, do I do the things that I do for Jesus Christ? Do I suffer for Jesus Christ? Oh yeah, putting money in the offering plate, you bet. I could buy myself a new car with the money I put in there. Am I doing that for Jesus Christ or am I doing that for something else? Am I doing that just so people will think I'm a good person? Just so people will think I'm holy? Just because I want some kind of social standing, am I doing it for those reasons or am I doing it for Jesus Christ? Are we doing the things that we do so other people will think well of us? So we'll have a better social standing in our society. Why do we do the things that we do? Because that's what matters the most. Not that you do them, but why do you do them? Jesus Christ told His disciples, He says, take heed the way that you give. Don't sound a trumpet and let everybody know that I'm putting some money in the offering plate. Look at me, everybody. I'm giving. When you go out and pray, don't go out and stand on a street corner and pray real loud where everybody can hear you so they'll all know that you're holy and righteous. Don't do that. You're doing it for the wrong reasons. And when you do it for the wrong reasons, you get your reward right now. You don't get it later because you had the wrong motivations. It matters why we do the things that we do. We must serve God not to be seen of men, but to glorify our Savior Jesus Christ and to glorify His Father. That's what counts. We got the motivation. We're going to go forward. We're going to serve God. You know what else matters the most? What really counts? Who goes with you? Who goes with you? What kind of coalition have you made? Who is on your side when you serve God? That's what really counts. He says in verse number 18, He says, brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. You know what we need? We need true support. It matters if the grace of God goes with us. It matters if Jesus Christ goes with us. It matters if Jesus Christ strengthens us. And He calls them brethren. You know what He's saying? Boy, I sure hope you continue in the grace of God. I sure hope you don't go back to the Judaizing stuff. I sure hope that you leave all that stuff alone. I sure hope that your heart is filled with the love of God as you go forward. I hope that you continue in the grace. I hope that the grace of God abounds in your hearts and you continue in grace. You know what He didn't say to these Galatians? He didn't say, well, the law of Moses be with you. He didn't say that. He didn't say, these rules and regulations be with you. No, He says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Why? The law of Moses can't justify anybody. Never has, never will. Why? Weak through the flesh. That's why. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Why? It took grace to justify them. It's going to take grace to keep them justified. It's going to take grace to help them to keep continuing on in the work of the Lord. It's going to take the grace of Christ in their daily walk with God. It's going to take the grace of God. And that's the beauty of salvation this morning. The beauty of salvation is your grace does not stop at justification and then that's it. No, grace starts at justification and it goes all the way to glorification. Amen. Do you know that God's going to take you all the way through? All the way through your Christian life, all the way through all the problems that you're having, all the way through all the struggles that you're having, the grace of God is going to be with you, and that's what we need. It really matters. Grace matters. Reminded of John Newton in his hymn, Amazing Grace. He says, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. The grace of God is going to bring you all the way to glory. That's what really matters. Have you formed a coalition with Jesus Christ? Is He the one that you depend on, His grace, on a daily basis to help you and strengthen you in your Christian life? Because it really matters. And think of Joshua in the Old Testament going over into the promised land, fixing to take the city of Jericho. Had a little bitty nation named Israel there. They weren't a mighty army. They weren't a great army. And they're coming up to this big city of Jericho, got high, thick walls, never been in a real battle before, don't know what they're going to do. Joshua's out there walking around the night before alone. I can only think about what he was going on in his mind. Boy, how are we going to do this? Sure hope the Lord's with me. Man, I hope He's with me. He looks across the field and he sees a man standing there. And he's got a sword drawn in his hand. I wonder who that is. He goes over and talks to this man. And he says, are you for us or for our adversaries? Who are you for? He says, I am the captain of the Lord's host and I'm with you. I'm with you. He's got his sword drawn. You know, you can go forward. If you've got the Lord on your side and He's got His sword drawn and He's against your enemies and He's going to help you and strengthen you. Moses did the same thing. He's going to lead the children of Israel through the desert. He says, I don't want to go forward unless you're with me. Unless your presence goes with me, I don't want to go forward because nothing else matters unless you are with me. You better go. Better go with me. And Jesus Christ knew the same thing. Talking to His disciples, fixing to leave. They're fixing to face some big issues in their life. They had always had Jesus Christ with them. You know what His parting words were? Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I want you to know and I want to make sure that you know that I am with you. You know that's the most important thing. It's if Jesus Christ goes with us. We know that the Lord is with us. We know that we're not alone. I don't know what you're facing today. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what kind of trial that you're facing, what kind of problems that you're running into. But I want you to know this morning that the Lord is with you and that His grace is going to go with you. Amen. It's going to be hard. Sure, it's going to be hard. The Bible never says it's going to be a bed of roses, but I know this. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ go with you. Amen. And every Christian can depend upon that. Amen. So what do we need this morning? In a nutshell, we need Jesus Christ. Yes, we need transformation. We need foundation. We need a motivation. And we need a coalition. And all of those things are found in Jesus Christ. Now, I would encourage you this morning not to get sidetracked by side issues. Well, I need to get baptized. I need to do this, I need to do that. Well, baptism's great. You must be baptized, not to be saved, but because you're a Christian. But that doesn't make you saved. That doesn't wash away any of your sins. None of those things. Topical solutions don't work. It's the root of the problem. You need all of those. You need the root. You don't need good morals. All those things are great, but that's not what counts. Have you been born again? Have you had that inner transformation? Are you depending upon Jesus Christ? Why do you do the things that you do? That's the way that Paul sums up the letter. What's most important? What really counts? What really counts for you? Is it Jesus Christ and His gospel? Or is it something else? Must be Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your blessings upon us. We thank you that you've given us grace through our Lord Jesus Christ. God, I pray that you'd help us to remember. Pray that you would remind us of our need for him on a daily basis. Lord, I pray for those who don't know Jesus Christ, have not been saved, not counting on him. Father, I pray that you'd save them today. I pray that they would go to you. They would not look to anything else, but they would look to Jesus Christ and him alone. Thank you, God, for the blessing of your grace. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.